أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Surah 66, Al-Tahrim. Title: The surah's title is taken from its opening verse. This is not, however, indicative of the surah's subject matter. Period of revelation. Two wives of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, are mentioned in relation to this incident in the hadith collections, Safiya and Mary the Copt. The former was married to the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, after the conquest of Khaybar in 7 after Hijri. The latter was sent in 7 after Hijri to the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, by the Egyptian king, Mukawqis. She gave birth to the Prophet's son, Ibrahim, in 8 after Hijri. It is thus clear that this surah must have been revealed between 7 to 8 after Hijri. Subject matter and themes. This surah deals with some incidents related to the Prophet's wives and raises and resolves some important issues. 1. It is Allah alone who is authorized to declare things as lawful or unlawful. Even the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, does not have this authority, let alone ordinary mortals. The Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, may declare something lawful or unlawful only when the Quran or an implicit revelation bids him to do so. At his own initiative, he cannot brand a lawful thing as unlawful. 2. The Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, occupies a crucial, sensitive position in society. Something ordinary that happens to another individual is not so consequential as in the Prophet's life, for the Prophet's life and conduct stand as a model for others. Accordingly, Allah closely monitors the lives of His messengers, lest they may not deviate even slightly from His way. If a messenger ever did anything contrary, Allah corrected it. This was done in order to ensure the transmission of the perfectly correct word of God and divine law in the Prophet's example. Thus, nothing inimical to His way could creep into these eternal sources of guidance. 3. As the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, was reprimanded and corrected over a minor issue, as detailed in this surah, it should assure us that the Prophet's actions and commands on record represent perfect truth. These carry Allah's endorsement. Since His sunnah is completely in line with the divine will, we may confidently draw guidance from it. 4. Allah no doubt obliges His servants to have respect and regard for His messenger as an article of faith. However, regarding such an exalted person, this surah recounts that he forbade only for himself a lawful thing in order to placate his wives. By the same token, Allah speaks of the Prophet's wives as mothers of all believers and asks Muslims to respect them, yet He indicts them in this surah. This reprimand of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, and his wives, was not done secretly or privately. Rather, all this is recorded in the Quran, which is recited by all Muslims. Allah did not intend to degrade the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, and his wives in the eyes of Muslims in so doing. It is also common knowledge that knowledge of this surah did not lower their prestige. The only consideration behind including all this in the Quran was to apprise the believers of the norms and limits of their elders. A prophet is a prophet, not God. He is not infallible. A prophet commands our respect not because he is perfect, but rather because he enjoys our utmost regard for being a representative of the divine will. Allah did not let any lapse of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, go unchecked, and so we have the sincere conviction that the Prophet, as our role model, fully reflects His will. Likewise, the companions and Prophet's wives were human beings, not angels or supernatural beings. They were thus liable to err. They attained exalted status as Allah's guidance and the Prophet's moral training transformed them. They're worth emulating for the same reason, not out of the notion that they were somehow infallible. This explains why they were censured when they committed any human lapse in the Prophet's day. At times, the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, reprimanded and reformed them, as seen in the details appearing in hadith collections. Some of their lapses are mentioned in the Quran and corrected by Allah. This is to teach Muslims not to extol them as gods or goddesses. A study of the Quran reveals several such examples. For example, while analyzing the Battle of Uhud, the Quran tells the companions, Allah surely fulfilled His promises of succor when you were slaying them by His leave until the moment you flagged and quarreled among yourselves about the matter and disobeyed the Prophet after he showed you what you intensely desire, for some of you sought this world and some of you sought the next. Thereupon, in order to put you to a test, he turned you away from your foes. Still, he pardoned you after that, for Allah is bounteous to those who believe. Al-Imran 3:152. While dealing with the issue of the slander against Aisha, the Quran tells the companions, "When you heard of it, why did the believing men and women not think well of their own folk and say, 'This is a manifest calumny'? Why did they not bring four witnesses in support of their accusation? Now that they have brought no witnesses, it is indeed they who are liars in the sight of Allah. Were it not for Allah's bounty and His mercy unto you in the world and in the hereafter, a grievous chastisement would have seized you on account of what you indulged in. Just think how wrong you were when one tongue received it from another, and you uttered with your mouths something you knew nothing about. You deemed it to be a trifle, while in the sight of Allah it was a serious matter. And why, no sooner than you had heard it, did you not say, 'It becomes us not even to utter such a thing'? Holy are you, O Allah. This is a mighty calumny. Allah admonishes you, if you are true believers, never repeat the like of what you did." Al-Nur 24:12-17. In Surah Al-Ahzab, the Prophet's wives are told, "O Prophet, tell your wives, if you seek the world and its embellishment, then come and I will make some provision for you and release you in an honorable way. But if you seek Allah and His Messenger and the abode of the hereafter, then surely Allah has prepared a great reward for those of you who do good." Al-Ahzab 33:28-29. The Quran makes the following observation about the companions. "Yet no sooner than they saw some trading or amusement, they flocked to it and left you standing by yourself. Tell them, that which is with Allah is far better than amusement and trading. Allah is the best provider of substance." Al-Jumu'ah 62:11. In Surah Al-Mumtahina, a companion who had even taken part in the Battle of Badr, Hatib ibn Abi Balta'ah, is severely indicted over his divulging the secret of the Prophet's attack on Makkah to the unbelieving Quraysh through his letter. All the above instances are found in the Quran itself. At the same time, the Quran speaks of the exalted status of companions and the Prophet's wives. It clearly gives them glad tidings. Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Him. Thus, the Quranic stance regarding respect and honor for them is marked by balance. The same prevented Muslims from the disaster of worshipping fellow human beings, a crime of which both Jews and Christians were guilty. On account of the same, the leading classical Sunni scholars' works on tafsir, hadith, and history relate the excellence of companions, but do not fail to recount their lapses and weaknesses in comparison to those who claim to have greater respect for them. They had a better understanding of the companions' exalted status and were more alive to the norms and limits of respect for them. 5. Another truth brought home in this surah is that Allah's religion is perfectly fair and transparent. Islam accords one only that status that he deserves by dint of his faith and actions. One's association with a respectable figure cannot do him any good. Likewise, his link with an evil person does not impair his prospects. Three types of women are presented before the Prophet's wives. One is represented by the wives of the prophets Noah and Lot, peace and blessings be upon them. Had these women embraced faith and assisted their esteemed husbands, they would have enjoyed the same elevated status that is held by Prophet Muhammad's wives. However, since they acted to the contrary, their being the prophet's wives did not help them at all. They were hurled into hell. Another type is exemplified by Pharaoh's wife. She was no doubt the wife of someone who was Allah's archenemy. However, as she embraced faith and acted differently from the way of Pharaoh's community, her being the wife of the worst unbeliever did not harm her, and Allah admitted her to paradise. Yet another type is Mary. She rose to an eminent position after she submitted to Allah's will and was put to a serious test. She is the only woman in history who, notwithstanding her chastity, was miraculously made pregnant while she was unmarried. She was told that Allah had a purpose behind this role of hers. She did not resent it, and as a true, sincere believer, she agreed to undergo the ordeal ordained for her as part of the divine will. In recognition of the same, Allah conferred upon her the coveted appellation of being the leader of all women in paradise, Ahmed. Another truth presented in this surah is that the Prophet's knowledge which he received from Allah was not all put down in the Quran. Allah informed him of certain matters that do not figure in the Quran. This is amply proved by verse 3 of this surah, which reads thus, "The Prophet confided something to one of his wives, and then she disclosed it to another. So after Allah revealed to the Prophet that she had disclosed that secret, he made a part of it known to her and passed over a part of it. And when he told her about this, i.e. that she had disclosed the secret entrusted to her, she asked, 'Who informed you of this?' He said, 'I was told of it by He who is all-knowing, all-aware.'" Al-Tahrim 66:3. Of course, the Quran does not contain any verse that tells the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, that Allah had informed him of his wife's disclosure of his secret to someone. In the absence of any such verse in the Quran, it is fairly clear that the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, received divine revelation in modes other than the Quran. This exposes the false notion of those who reject hadith, insisting that only the Quran constitutes the divine revelation sent down to the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him.